Welcome to the Neracast Tech Briefing. I am your host, and we have a packed show for you today, diving into the intersection of generative models and physical engineering.
It is fascinating how the line between software and hardware keeps blurring. We are seeing AI models directly target complex professional workflows, while at the same time, open source software is making advanced mechanical engineering accessible to hobbyists.
Exactly. Today, we are looking at ByteDance's new CDance 2.5 model, which is fundamentally changing how AI video handles temporal consistency and long-form generation.
And on the hardware side, we will examine a viral project from a 15-year-old developer who managed to design and 3D print a highly efficient cycloidal gearbox, proving that the barrier to entry for robotics is lower than ever.
Plus, in our roundup, we will preview the highly anticipated Go 1.27 release dropping this month, look at a developer push for faster models in Claude code workflows, and discuss a documentation framework that is quietly taking over the industry.
There is a lot of ground to cover, so let us jump right into the deep dives.
Let us start with a major leap in generative AI video. ByteDance has officially rolled out CDance 2.5 to platforms like Dreamina and CapCut in late July 2026, following its initial preview at the Volcano Engine Force conference back on June 23rd.
The headline capability here is 30-second continuous video generation in a single pass. That is a massive shift. Up until now, AI video workflows have mostly been about generating short, 3 to 5 second clips and painstakingly stitching them together. CDance 2.5 is trying to solve that temporal coherence problem natively.
And they are tackling consistency by allowing up to 50 multimodal reference inputs for a single generation. We are talking images, video clips, and audio all fed in simultaneously to lock in character designs, product details, and overall visual style.
It is a fascinating approach, but it raises a real question about workflow. Does allowing 50 reference inputs actually solve the character drift problem that has plagued AI video? Or does it just shift the burden of effort entirely onto the user? You have to curate and provide perfect assets to get that consistency.
That is a fair point. It moves the bottleneck from prompt engineering to asset management. But for professional, commercial, and narrative workflows, that level of control is exactly what they have been asking for. They also introduced region-level editing, which feels like a direct response to the enterprise market.
Right. The region-level editing is a game-changer. If a 30-second generation is perfect, except for a weird artifact on a character's hand or a car in the background that looks wrong, you can just mask and regenerate that specific region without throwing away the whole clip.
Contrast that with traditional tools like Premiere Pro or DaVinci Resolve. Fixing a hand in traditional post-production means masking, tracking, and maybe replacing it with a clean plate or another take. In CDance 2.5, you mask the region and the generative model hallucinates a fix that is temporally consistent with the rest of the shot.
Which is huge for usability. But this jump in capability comes with a literal cost. ByteDance is reporting that CDance 2.5 costs about 50% more to run than the previous 2.0 version.
And with a 50% price increase, you have to wonder if this 30-second native generation is economically viable for the small, independent creators who popularize these tools, or if ByteDance is pivoting hard toward high-end enterprise production.
I think it is clearly a push for the high-end. When you require 50 reference inputs and charge a premium, you are building a tool for agencies and studios that have the budget and the asset libraries ready to go. It's less about casual creation and more about industrial-scale production.
For our next story, we are looking at a hardware project that hit the top of Hacker News on August 2nd, racking up over 260 points. A 15-year-old developer named Tom Elon posted a GitHub repository titled, "I am a 15-year-old wannabe engineer. This is a cycloidal gearbox I built."
It is an incredibly impressive piece of work. For some context, a cycloidal gearbox is a specific type of mechanical speed reducer. It is highly valued in robotics because it can significantly increase torque while maintaining very low backlash, meaning there is almost zero play or slop in the gears.
Usually, these drives are precision machined for metal for industrial applications, but Tom designed and 3D printed his own version. And he did not just build it once, he documented a rigorous iterative design process. By his third version, the gearbox was achieving a reported 66% efficiency.
Hitting 66% efficiency with 3D printed plastic parts is no small feat. Friction is a massive issue when you have plastic components rubbing against each other in an eccentric motion. The fact that he optimized the tolerances to reach that level is a testament to his engineering process.
And he did not just eyeball the design. He used Python scripting to mathematically generate the complex cycloidal curve profiles, which he then imported into his CAD software. That is some heavy mathematics for a 15-year-old.
The community reaction was overwhelmingly positive, and a lot of the discussion actually centered on the title of his post. Commenters were quick to tell him to drop the wannabe label. Using Python to model cycloidal profiles, running iterative physical tests, and writing clear technical documentation is the literal definition of engineering.
It really highlights how much the barrier to entry has dropped for complex mechanical design. Between affordable 3D printing, open source CAD tools, and accessible programming languages, high-precision engineering is available to a younger generation in a way that simply was not possible a decade ago.
There was some debate in the thread about the specific trade-offs of a 3D printed cycloidal drive compared to traditional metal machined gearboxes, specifically regarding durability and long-term performance under heavy loads. Right, plastic will eventually deform or wear down under the kind of continuous torque a robotic arm might generate. But for prototyping, educational purposes, and lightweight robotics, it is a perfectly viable approach. Absolutely. It is a brilliant case study in how hobbyists are pushing the limits of desktop manufacturing. And I think we can safely say Tom Elon has earned the title of engineer.
All right, let's pivot to a few more stories making waves this week.
We have some updates on the Anthropic ecosystem, a major programming language release to look forward to, and a documentation framework you should probably be using. First up, there is a highly active feature request on the Claude Code GitHub repository, issue 83376, asking for Claude 3.5 Haiku support. We talked about Claude Opus 5 a few days ago and its incredible reasoning capabilities, but developers using it in the terminal are finding it a bit too chatty. The bug report literally says Opus 5 is too verbose and runs in circles for tasks.
Exactly. They note that the Fable model is faster, but they specifically want Haiku because it is straightforward, extremely fast, and significantly cheaper for routine file edits.
It shows a clear divergence in how developers want to interact with AI agents. For complex architecture, you want the deep reasoning of Opus. But for executing a standard refactor, developers just want the raw speed of a smaller model.
Next, a heads up for back-end developers. Go 1.27 is slated for its stable release this month, August 2026. This is one of the most significant updates in years because it finally introduces generic methods, a feature developers have been requesting seemingly forever. It also adds native UUID support and a new post-quantum cryptography package called MLDSA. If you want to test these features before updating your production environments, Victoria Metrics just published an interactive tour written by Jesus Espino. It lets you run examples right in your browser.
It is great to see them continuing the interactive tour series that was previously maintained by Anton Zhianov. It has become a staple resource for the Go community with every major release.
Finally, let's talk about technical writing. A documentation framework called Dyadixis is gaining serious traction across the industry. Created by Daniele Procida at Canonical, Dyadixis forces technical writers to categorize content into four distinct buckets: tutorials, how-to guides, reference, and explanation. The idea is to match the documentation directly to the user's intent at that exact moment, whether they are trying to learn a new concept or just look up a specific command.
It is a rigid system, but it prevents the massive content sprawl that ruins so many developer portals. Major players like Cloudflare and the Python community have already adopted it, and it is proving especially useful for structuring data so AI agents can index it efficiently.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thank you for joining us as we explored the latest in AI video and grassroots robotics. We will be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of the tech industry. Until then, keep building and stay curious.